bunch of second-rate and inferior seatbelt signs that he mightn't have been fiddling about with. Another thing that Dirk reflected on as he settled back into his seat was the curious coincidence that not only does the outside of an aircraft look like the outside of a vacuum cleaner, but also the inside of an aircraft smells like the inside of a vacuum cleaner. He accepted a glass of champagne from the cabin steward. He supposed that most of the words that airline staff used, or rather most of the sentences into which they were habitually arranged, had been worked so hard that they had died. The strange stresses that cabin stewards continually thumped them with were like electric shocks applied to heart attack victims in an attempt to revive them. Well, what a strange and complicated hour and a half that had been. Dirk was still by no means sure that something somewhere had not gone terribly wrong, and he was tempted, now that the seat belt sign had been turned off by the captain, to go and take a bit of a casual stroll through the aircraft to have a look for his quarry. But no one was going to be getting on or off the aircraft for a little while now, so he would probably be wiser to restrain himself for an hour. Or even longer. It was, after all, an 11-hour flight to Los Angeles. He had not been expecting to go to Chicago today, and the sight of his quarry making a beeline for the check-in desk for the 1330 flight to Chicago had made him lurch. However, a resolution was a resolution. So, after a brief pause to make sure that his quarry hadn't merely gone up to the check-in desk to ask directions to the tie shop, Dirk had made his way lightheadedly to the ticket sales desk and slammed plastic. Overwhelmed by his sudden solvency, he had even booked himself business class. His anonymous employer was obviously someone of means who was not going to quibble over a few minor expenses. Suppose his quarry was travelling business class? Dirk would not be able to keep tabs on him from a seat stuck in the back of the plane. There was almost an argument there for travelling first class, but not, Dirk reluctantly admitted to himself, a sane one. But an hour and a half after the plane had taken off, Dirk was beginning to wonder. As a business class passenger, he was denied access to the first class section up in the nose of the plane, but could wander freely wherever else he liked. He had wandered freely up and down each aisle 3 times now, surreptitiously watched each of the toilet doors and had seen his quarry nowhere. He returned to his seat and pondered the situation. Either his quarry was in the first class cabin, or he was not on the plane. First class. He just didn't look it. The fare would be quite a few months' rent on his flat. But who knows? Maybe he had caught the eye of a Hollywood casting director who was whisking him over for a screen test. It wouldn't be difficult to slip into the first-class cabin and have a quick look round, but it would be difficult to do it without attracting attention. Not on the plane. Dirk had seen him heading in toward